Today, we are talking Knock.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the first episode of Talkin' Knock, our podcast about OSR and OSR-adjacent magazines. I am joined by my co-host today, Peyton. How you doing today, Peyton?
Oh, you know, just chilling. Here for the ride. How about you?
I'm doing great. We just actually got finished with our weekly DCC session. Almost wiped the party twice, so that was a good experience.
That's like a regular occurrence, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, since it's the first time that any of these people who are listening are getting to meet you, why don't you tell them a little bit about what your RPG experience is?
So, growing up, I actually mostly was a video gamer, but my uncle actually had a copy of the very first edition of D&D that we played a bit as a teenager, and I went off that for the longest time until Tristan here decided to message me one day and say, hey, do you want to try D&D? And I'm like, sure. And we did 5e, and I was hooked, and I've been trying new things ever since.
Nice. Yeah, I know. And you've just started running your own 5e games, right? For like your sister and her friends?
Yeah, it was my sister and three other friends, and they wanted to do D&D but didn't have a DM. And I'm like, hey, I got a lot of free time. How about me? And they were like, yeah, sure. And that's how I came to do it.
That's awesome. And your campaign world is a little bit wonky, isn't it? It's like cats and dogs and dragons and crap like that.
Yeah, so we started with that one game that you showed me, the story building one. What was the name of that?
Oh, Ground Itself, which is an awesome thing on itch.io.
Yeah, highly recommend buying that. But we basically played that to build the world, and we ended up just making a long story short about being in an enchanted valley with like a dog god and a cat god going at each other, right? And I basically, you know, I took that and I put it into the Sword Coast setting. You know, like this valley is like in an island off the coast of Neverwinter and whatnot. But like that, they basically are going exploring their valley in the present day when in the previous, like, the world-building game, we built the backstory and the lore of it.
Perfect, yeah. That Ground Itself game is this wonderful little zine on itch.io that basically you and a group of friends just use a deck of cards to create a world, and not a single game that I've played, like, a dozen games of it, and not a single one of them has ever turned out the same way. But in terms of me, my D&D and RPG experience started when I was 14, I want to say. I had my dad's like AD&D stuff, and we tried to play through it. Little did I know at the time that we had a smattering of first edition AD&D and second edition AD&D. So we played that for a little bit, and then we were like, hey, what's the latest edition of this game? And it was fourth edition, and it was terrible and awful. And then fifth edition dropped pretty soon after that, I think like 2 years later. So we switched to 5th edition, and then I've played a smattering of everything from Pathfinder to Call of Cthulhu to Old School Essentials. Now specifically DCC is the main thing that I run and play, but I also do one-shots. Like, I've got one coming up for Red Markets, which is a really cool post-apocalyptic like zombie game that I'm playing on Thursday. But yeah, so some housekeeping stuff too about the podcast before we really get into the meat of this is our thumbnail currently is just a default image. We've got a great friend of mine doing the art for us. I will release his name and everything once everything is solidified on that front. And the length of these episodes are kind of going to be variable for a little bit as we, Peyton and I, figure out how long it takes us to work through some of these articles. So it might be 15 minutes, it might be a half hour, depending on how much we talk and how good we are at managing our time. So, Peyton, what is the first article that we're looking at today?
Well, I believe we are looking at the adventure inside of the dust cover.
Yeah, exactly. Zarata Zarat's Manse, which is by, it's written in here by Nobok the Censored, which is another name for one of the authors of the entire magazine. My God, I'm going to butcher his name because I don't speak French, but I believe it's Olivier Reveny, I want to say. I might mess that up, and I'm sure I will be corrected later on about that. But you can find him at marymushman.com, obviously. He's one of the compilers of the book. He also wrote a wargaming magazine called Battles, if you ever want to read more about him. But what's the basic premise of this adventure?
Well, from what I was able to understand, it seems like a fairly generic adventure that can be used in a lot of settings. And it's basically this party of adventure goes to explore this marsh that has been having a problem with a lot of animals running amok. And, like, there's an evil wizard at play. Well, not necessarily evil, but, you know, a brooding wizard at play.
Yeah, he's kind of... I kind of like the way that it described him as a, quote, greedy, pugnacious, sourpuss, and expert manipulator. Yet the first time you interact with him, he's completely naked, running around through his own house because everything has been turned upside down. And it's great. I actually love this thing. It's, by generic, you meant kind of like setting agnostic, right? Like it's not tied to anything specifically.
Yeah. Like as an individual module, like don't get me wrong, it has like a decent story for being like a cover adventure and stuff like that. I just meant that like you can throw this, like you have to tweak some numbers, but you can throw this in almost like any setting or rule set and it works.
Yeah, exactly. It's very good at being just open to whatever. It's based on OSE, and that's where it actually directs you for any of the monsters and stuff like that. But like you said, it can be put anywhere. And it's the village that's attached to it, I believe, is called Yucks, which is just, I would use Yucks in my campaign setting because we've got Ditch and we use Aang from the DCC module, but we've just got a lot of like single syllable, like fun words to say. But what was your favorite part about this little module's Zerata Zerat's Manse is what it's called.
Actually, you covered it already. I kind of like how, like, you know, like, from the perspective of, like, the townspeople, like, they kind of play this wizard up as, like, you know, like, some dude who's, like, you know, kind of there, but does his own thing, so we made, like, they leave it, like, he's, like, kind of bad, but very vague. And then, like you said, when you encounter him, like, he's just fucking, he's naked, like, you know, shit's on fire. You just, it's just, like, such a... You do not expect that coming kind of thing when you see like the end goal.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love that. And then my personal favorite part was the whole portion about the pontoon where when Yuzkers, which are what people from the town are called, get too old, they go for something called the deep ending, which is where everyone chants by the side of the swamp and a giant tentacle just grabs the person and everybody cheers. I don't know why, I just absolutely love that.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, but it kind of reminds me of, like, the whole, like, when you're dead, you gotta go thing of the movie Midsommar.
I have not seen that, but I've heard it referenced.
Yeah, like, but, like, that's more in, like, a dark kind of way. This is more of just, like, a hilarious, what the fuck, everyone's sitting around cheering kind of way.
The parentheses where it says, the inn it rents out folding stools was just wonderful. That, like, actually got a laugh out of me. Could you see yourself using this in, like, your games that you run?
I think... I don't necessarily think that it would be something that I would, like, hard tie into the main story, but as more of, like, a we need a side adventure or, you know, like, on a more personal, like, hey, I need to... I don't have a lot of time this week to work on the session kind of thing. Just throw this in there.
Have it in your back pocket and just be ready for it if you need it kind of thing. Yeah, I think I'd be the same. The one thing that I did really like was actually inside the spine of the dust cover is the reaction tables and like how the creatures run into you. I would 100% steal that. Like, I would keep that. I have a bulletin board of all of my things for running sessions, and I would 100% put that on there just for quick reference.
Yeah, it's like a really nice way to, like, you know, you can change, like, you know, the way that, like, maybe it takes place in a desert, or maybe it takes place in, you know, like a rainforest or something. You can still throw this in here, but because of that, like, way that you roll encounters, it adds a lot of replayability to it, so you can use it multiple times.
I'm not 100% sure who the artist is for the inside of the cover. The outside of the cover is obviously Tim Malloy, because he does all the covers for Nock so far. I think the inside is by him as well. I will get more into him when we talk about the next article that we're looking at. I'm pretty sure that's him. Someone feel free to correct me if I am wrong on that regard. So the second article that we're looking at is Meet the Diamond, which I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that correct, because every time it's in between the D and the M, it's always just an I emoji, which, I mean, the last thing we really need is another way to pronounce demon, because we've got the British way of spelling it and the American way of spelling it and pronouncing it. But what'd you think of this one?
I mean, I think it's a neat little gimmick. I think it's like, you know, obviously it plays into like the whole theming of what seems to be this issue of like, you know, replayability and like randomness and like how can you like just, you know, spice things up.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I enjoy about this that maybe isn't specifically about this, you know, like the subject matter is that like, you know, you have to look on the spine of the book, you know, it is fun and interactive when you're building this.
Yeah, I agree. And like, the part at the top where it says drop all of its hit dice on this cover and use as many results as you like, that part's fun. The part where it's you turn your face into a demon's, which is cut out the cover of this magazine and make a mask, which is sacrilege, in my opinion. I would never cut up this magazine, especially because shipping it from France sucks, but...
It's just this conspiracy to raise the prices. When, you know, it comes a collector's edition.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. No, I love this, and I figured that, like, basically the gist of this is you use all these tables to create a diamond, which is what the cover of the Nock magazine is supposed to be, one of these creatures. So I figured while we're here, we just give like a result on each of these tables. So Peyton, do me a favor and roll a d8 for me, and this will be what a harvested eye would be used as. So you got a 7. So a 7, basically you can attach the eye to a weapon and it gains just a random power, which is fun. And I'm assuming it's one of these magical powers down below. So roll another d8 for me.
Rolling. Looks like I got a 5.
Perfect. So basically it allows you to hijack and warp dreams, which is real cool. We won't go through like the gaze attacks or the motivations, even though these things are awesome. I want you to do the fun one, which is roll a d4, first of all, for me.
Got a 3, good sir.
Now roll 3 d20s for me, and we get to look at the spine and figure out this thing's strange name. So we got Hend Yeh. Oh my god, Hend Yehend is his name. So each d4 you roll is a d20, and on the spine it's got 20 different results that you could possibly use. That's like, honestly, that gimmick of Nock is my favorite thing. Like, having literally everything chock full of material to use. I mean, not to get in my head of myself, but even when you just open up the cover, the splash page when you go in has like d12 pamphlets found in a dungeon. I just love that. Like, I do not feel like there is a inch in this magazine that is not either covered with beautiful art or covered with a resource of some way. So definitely feel like I got my money's worth out of it.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I mean, like you said, I love that, like, it seems like you don't really read this book, you know, like you have an adventure through the book because you just have all these different things to like go and experiment with, and like they interact with the book in so many special ways. It's just so great.
Exactly. And I was reading on their website, they have how kind of we got knocked together blurb on there. And I believe that's one of the things that Olivier was talking about, was that he wants this to be like a journey that where you spend like a month going through the book and just taking your time going through. You never really know what the next thing is going to be. They don't organize it in like genre specific things other than putting the maps at the back, which I think is great, because one of my friends described it as a good bathroom book, which is very true, because it's something that you just kind of pick up when you're going to the bathroom and you read through a few things and you're like, wow, great. And then you put it back down. I personally put it on my shelf, but to each their own. So our last article that we're looking at is not really an article. It's the Kickstarter postcard that they put in there. Do you want to give me a hand and try and pronounce the full name of this article?
The Archical Grimoire of the Proplonic Discharges. Yeah, see, you know, I'm glad you're the one reading all these things out.
See, I did myself a solid, and I love their graphic design, but for some, I don't know what it is about this font, but it made it so hard for me to read this. So I wrote it down on my own. So it's the Anarchical Grimoire of Propylonic Discharges. I don't know why that font messes with my brain so much, but basically it's a tome that gives random spell effects, and you can just slip it into your world, and each day it gives these kind of generic spells that you can kind of do anything about. They kind of tell you exactly what they do in the name rather than like having a long description of what they do. So what'd you think of this one?
So this one I actually was a bit confused about, because I was reading through it and I'm just like, you know, napkin mathing some of the combinations, and it seemed like some of them like wouldn't work together, if that makes sense.
Basically the way that it works is it's got, you start by rolling a d12, and then from that d12 it breaks down into tables that are d10, d8, d6, and d4. So you just mean like the combinations of the words and how you would get a spell out of it?
Yeah, because there's some things like be like symmetrical yet unstable hinges and rails. Like, how is that a spell?
Yeah, I don't know how that would work either, but I think it would be fun. Like, personally, what I would do is have symmetrical and unstable, so you're casting it on a door or something like that. It puts hinges on both sides of the door, so no one can open it because it's bolted to the wall on both sides. Just stuff like that is kind of how I pull it. I think it's meant to be a bit ridiculous. It's meant to just be like, wait, what does this do? And kind of prompt you and your players to figure it out together. You know what I mean?
You see, this is why you've been a DM longer.
I have to say that DMing with you and the rest of our group that we've been on and off for, I guess, 4 years now, it has definitely taught me to roll with the punches. And something I just realized is the Meet the Diamond thing, as well as this handout, are both by Eric Nyden, is how I was pronouncing his name, but it might be wrong, and feel free to correct me. You can send us an email. He is the other Mushman himself. He has also created something called Macchiato Monsters, which is a RPG rule set that he created. It's really fun and laid back. I was looking at it on, you can get it on DriveThruRPG. You can find it on there, and it's great. But he also has his own blog, which is dragons.ie/blog. He wrote both the Meet the Diamond and this, and he is the other author for Nock. So everything on the front is by the two of them, which I thought was like a nice little way of handling that. What was your favorite part of this postcard?
I mean, honestly, the spells on the back seems like, you know, it'd be a fun thing to throw in. Like, I think the art on the front looks amazing.
You're less of an art junkie than I am. So do you know who Russ Nicholson is?
I have no idea who that is. I know nothing about art.
So, Russ Nicholson is known for doing a lot of work in the Fiend Folio and other original TSR modules and publications that they put out during what's kind of a debatable golden age in TSR. But now he's doing stuff for Dungeon Crawl Classics, for smaller people like this. Maybe not smaller is the best word, but more indie-based. And he actually worked with Eric on Macchiato Monsters as well. No wonder you love it, because he's like the OG.
Yeah, that would make sense. I gotta say, it really captures, like, the feel of, like, the OG Player's Handbook that I used when I was a teenager.
He does that perfectly. So, that is all that we have today in terms of these articles. I think that in the future, it would be great for people to send us questions as well. I'm totally down to answer some questions on the air. You can reach us at talkin.knock@gmail.com. There is no G on the end of talkin. So you can reach us there. Next week, we are going to look at two articles. We're going to look at What I Want in an OSR Game by Brooks Daly, as well as A Comparison of Old and New D&D by Gavin Norman. All right, everybody. Well, until next time, we will catch you later.
See y'all later.